Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Canto 5, Chapter 13. Chapter's entitled Rahukana Converses with Jad Bhart, text number 22. Nayabhutam tats charanam jarenubir. Nayabhutam tats twach charanam jarenubir. Hatam haso bhaktir ahuksa jay mala. Ma murtikam yasya samagamachchame. Dustar kamulo pahato vivekaha. Nayabhutam twach charanab charenubhir. Hatam haso bhaktir ahuksa jay mala. Ma murtikad yasya samat kamach chame. Dustar kamulo paharta vivekaha. Paharta. Nayabhutam tach charanam charenubhir. Hatam haso bhaktir ahuksa jay mala. Ma murtikad yasya samamach chame. Murtikad samagamachach. Dustar kamulo pahato vivekaha. Not. He, certainly, abhutam, wonderful, twat charana abja, renuvi, by the dust of your lotus feet, hata amhasa, who am completely freed from the reactions of sinful life. Bhakti, love and devotion. Ahok Sajay, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the capture of experimental knowledge. Amala, completely freed from all material contamination. Mahorhikat, momentary. Yasya, of whom? Samagamat, by the visit and association. Cha, also. Me, my. Dustaka, of false arguments. Mula, the root. Apahata, completely vanquished. Avivekaha, not discriminating. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is that, this is King Rahugana speaking, it is not at all wonderful that simply by being covered by the dust of your lotus feet, one immediately attains the platform of pure devotional service to Ahok Sajay, which is not available even to great demigods like Brahma. By associating with you just for a moment, I am now freed from all arguments, false prestige, and lack of discrimination, which are the roots of entanglement in the material world. Now I am freed from all these problems. Purport is very, very short, so please listen up. Association with pure devotees certainly frees one from the material clutches. This is certainly true of King Rahugana's associate with Jad Bhart. King Rahugana was immediately freed from the misgivings of material association. The arguments offered by pure devotees to their disciples are so convincing that even a dull-headed disciple is immediately enlightened with spiritual knowledge. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gina Jina Silakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Tadati Swam Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Dutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagaha Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Dhruvischa Kripa Sindhu Bebacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So in this particular pastime, and particularly this verse, really indicates the process of success in spiritual life. King Rahugana, he is pious king. He's quite pious. In fact, his journey, which we read about here, he's on his way to Kapila Ashram in order to take mercy and darshan of the Lord. So, he's not just a materialistic king. He's a king, and because of him being a king, he's got all the what we say, qualities that make up a leader, in the sense that he's a little bit proud of his position. He's a little proud. And therefore, he's identifying himself with him as the role of a king. He's being enlightened by Judd Bart. Judd Bart was carrying the king on his palanquin, but he wasn't carrying it properly, or at least according to the king's understanding. According to Judd Bart's understanding, he was perfect, because he was trying to not step on ants while he was carrying the palanquin. This is the nature of a Vaishnava. A soft-hearted Vaishnava sees the soul within the heart of all living entities, no matter what that living entity's body may be. So therefore, he was carefully avoiding stepping on ants, but it didn't work for carrying palanquins. He was shaking the palanquin, bouncing it, and the king became very disturbed and started to insult Judd Bart. I'm kind of narrating more or less the essential points. There's a lot more. And in that insult, Judd Bart just listened. And then part of that insight, he was saying, you know, you look strong and stout, but you're not doing your, you know, service nicely. You're quite fat. You look healthy. But still, you can't carry this palanquin. And Judd Bart turned everything around and said, actually, you're not talking about me. You're talking about my body, and that is actually not me. So he enlightened him very carefully and very, what we say, systematically, in the difference between the soul and the body, the difference between the individual person and the body one inhabits. And he turned it around and explained that, actually, you think you're a king, but you're not a king. That's just the role you're playing. Actually, in one life, I may be the king and you may be the palanquin carrier, and you may be carrying my palanquin. So when King Rahugana heard such transcendental knowledge in such a pure way coming from this simple, apparently ordinary personality, he listened. His mind was attracted. He listened very carefully. And then he realized, this person is not some ordinary person. So he immediately got down off his palanquin and paid full obeisances. And then he wanted to know who you were. He was. And of course, Judd Bart explained more. And King Rahugana replied in so many ways on a practical, philosophical, and very pious understanding of the goal of life. But after listening to all those arguments, now the key point here is that Judd Bart was being somewhat criticized, somewhat put in a very menial and he wasn't being glorified by this king. In fact, he was being criticized. But still he tolerated it. So this is the nature of a great soul. Prabhupada says, the quality of a great soul, their outstanding quality, is that they can tolerate any circumstances, no matter how difficult it may be. He says, this is how you can tell one of the major outstanding qualities of a great soul: tolerance. Tolerance beyond the level of what we understand as tolerance. And usually when you approach a saintly person for knowledge, for understanding, or even for service, you approach in a humble way. But it took some time before Rahugana's humility started to manifest. And then Judd Bart started to open up and giving transcendental knowledge. Before then, he was just tolerating the king's harassment. And sometimes we think, well, you know, if someone is trying to give transcendental knowledge and the other person is not appreciating it, then what's the use? But Judd Bart somehow tolerated all the negativity that was coming his way just to save the king. Just to save the king and just to give enlightenment and transcendental knowledge. This is the quality of a great soul. He was friendly. He was merciful. And he was very, very tolerant. It says here in the purport, and Prabhupada gives a little bit of an understanding of the nature of a great soul in relationship to a disciple. He says that the arguments of a great soul or a pure devotee are so convincing and so spiritually powerful, and they go directly to the heart, that even a dull-headed disciple can make advancement or can understand. So what is that dull-headedness? The dull-headedness is continual attachment to material sense gratification. Or we might use another word, continual endeavors to find happiness through material activities. This is a sign of dull-headedness. Srila Prabhupada was talking with his devotees. It was a morning walk. It was a very long discussion, and the discussion topic was, there's no happiness in the material world. And you know, if you listen to Prabhupada and his disciples, the disciples, devotees, would many times challenge Prabhupada in a very respectful way. But they never held back in their challenges. So one disciple said to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, we understand that actually in the mode of goodness, there's happiness. It actually says that in the Shastras, that there's mode of goodness is characterized by happiness. And Prabhupada said, yes, but it's also characterized by knowledge. And that knowledge tells you there's no happiness. So that's the understanding of the knowledge principle. And so that dull-headedness is constantly being worked on by the pure devotees to somehow come bring, because Prabhupada said, unless one is convinced, not just theoretically, but within their heart and minds, that there's no happiness in this material world, spiritual life has not yet begun. It's really hasn't begun. We're practicing to really begin the process of spiritual life. But even if we still have that attachment to material life and still think in some maybe insignificant way that there's some happiness in this material world, the antidote for that is described here, the association of great souls. What is that verse? Satam prasangam mamavirya-sam vidho bhavanti ritkarna risayana-kata. That in the association of great souls, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is nectar for the ear and for the and purifies the heart. And it gives one an attachment to the process of devotional service. Again, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, Sutta Goswami says, Shushusha Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Shanmayat Seva Vipra Purnya Tirtana Sevana. That by service to pure devotees, that service is the best of all service. And by that service, one gets, the word is affinity. One gets an attraction, attachment to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And that's what we're looking for. We want that. We want to become so attracted to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord that if we don't have that opportunity, we feel disturbed. If we're not absorbed in the mood of trying to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, we don't find the happiness we're looking for. So that is the result of serving great souls. It's such a powerful process that the association of great souls is purifies the heart. But what is that association? It's taken a little bit deeper. The association is not physical proximity. Physical proximity is available. But association really means to hear in a submissive way the words of the great devotees. And to also want to render service. These are the principles that make up association. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tadviri Pratipatena Paripasyena Sevaya Upadeksyanti Tekena Jnaninam Tatvatarshana. By submission, the mood of service, and the desire, inquiry, one is associating with Krishna through his pure devotees. That's the principle. So that's what a devotee is thinking, how to access that association. Prabhupada says that even if a flea, he uses the example, a flea is sitting on a king, but what does the flea have to do with the king? Is the flea actually associating with the king? So physical proximity is not association. And we've had that also. But real association is to develop that eagerness, that enthusiastic mentality to want to hear the glories of the Lord spoken by the pure devotees of the Lord. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastri Hoy, Lava Matta, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That through that mood of hearing from great souls, in this verse, I believe, I'm not sure, I think it's spoken by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He uses the word Lava Matta. Now, Lava Matta, Prabhupada describes, is 1/11th of a second. If you could take a second and divide it into that many parts, one of those parts would be considered a Lava Matta. So the emphasis on that, simply by associating with great souls, in 1/11th of a second, one can be completely purified from all material attachments and material desires. So Prabhupada says that one has achieved success. So then we may ask the question, and the question does come up. Well, I've been doing that. I've had a lot of Lava Mattas, right? I can even count my Lava Mattas. But, you know, where's my purified heart? I don't feel like I've reached that stage of. But Prabhupada was asked that question. I think if you read Prabhupada's books completely and listen to all his lectures, there wasn't any question that Prabhupada wasn't asked. And sometimes we say, you know, is it in Prabhupada's books? It's in his lectures. With research, you can find every principle. Prabhupada covered everything. It's amazing. And I think that was Krishna's arrangement, so we wouldn't have any doubts in the future about any of the principles of devotional service. So the question came up, and I remember it was Panchadevita Maharaj. He asked Prabhupada that question. He said, but Prabhupada, you know, we're associating with you. We have so much of your association, but we haven't reached that Lava Matta in us. So Prabhupada answered in a very interesting way. He said, when the wood is wet, it doesn't light. If you have wet wood and you try to start a fire, it doesn't light. But when the wood is dry, as soon as it comes in contact with fire, it immediately catches fire. Then Prabhupada explains that we have to keep going hearing and hearing and hearing until that consciousness manifests. So that drying of the wood is the constant hearing in the association of pure devotees. And that will gradually purify one's consciousness. Now sometimes we see that even a person who may have very little association with a great soul, but that one bit of association changes their whole life. I was just thinking, there was one incident where Srila Prabhupada was traveling. I'm not sure exactly where, but Prabhupada mentions it on one tape lecture, that there was one man he met in the airport. And the man recognized Srila Prabhupada, had never met him before, offered his obeisances. Prabhupada spoke to him and told him, open up a preaching center. And that was the only association he ever had with Prabhupada. And later on he opened up a preaching center. He was so And we say inspired, and we might even say purified, to at least to some degree, by the association of Srila Prabhupada, that he was actually doing something to spread Krishna consciousness right after that. So these are examples of how powerful that association is. And so therefore, one should be eager to hear and chant in association of great souls. Now in the Padma Purana, it describes how to access the quality of hearing, how to maximize your ability to hear. Because we know the mind is chanchala. Chanchala, yimana Krishna, pramati balavadriha, tasyaham, nigavamaye, vayur idam, tuduskam. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Asta Sakhi Ki Jai. So Arjuna, when Krishna told him, you try to control your mind, Arjuna said, you're asking me to control the wind. Too difficult. And in the next verse, Krishna ends the explanation by saying, Abhyasena Tukunteya Vairagena Shagrihate. He says, yes, he agrees with Arjuna. It's very difficult to control the mind. But by constant practice and by detachment from sense gratification, the mind can gradually become peaceful and then fixed in devotional service. So in the Padma Purana, there's a beautiful verse that explains what are the four principles of effective hearing. That the four principles of effective hearing, I'll just read them. Faith, the first one is faith in the words of the speaker. If you have doubts, then you're not going to be able to assimilate what is being said. Now, we can discuss that a little bit more. I'll just go through these. The second one is humility. In other words, one has to have a demeanor which is accepting what is being said. First faith, and then humility. Now the third is destroying the faults in the mind. What is the faults in the mind? Any other thought that may arise during the time of the process of hearing. And sometimes, you know, we know the mind is going this way, it's going that way, it's going everywhere, right? It can travel to the whole universe and come back to Mayapur in a few seconds, right? That's the nature of the mind. It's just, you know, it's powerful, it's fast, and it's disobedient, extremely. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, your mind is a non-devotee. Pretty bold. Not very nice, but that's what he said. So he said, therefore, you should not associate with non-devotees. Therefore, we can't get rid of that association, so we have to preach to the mind and make him a devotee. So, and therefore, destroying the faults of the mind means constantly bringing back the mind to the lotus feet of the Lord or to the topic that is being narrated, fixing the consciousness on the subject matter. And the last one, it says that if one follows these first three, faith, humility, and constantly bringing the mind back to the sound vibration, then two things happen. One of two things may happen, or both may happen. One gets realizations of the subject matter, and two, one may start to think of questions in relationship to the subject matter. So these are what we say principles or proponents of what we say attentive hearing. So we have to practice that with our japa, and especially, of course, with our japa, and especially in the process of hearing. Because the more we concentrate on what is being said, the more we go deeper into the mood of what is being said. and therefore the mind becomes fixed. So King Rahugana, he really concentrated because Judd Bharat pulled out all his attachments in a few powerful statements. He had nothing left. And then he wanted to hear transcendental knowledge. And after hearing transcendental knowledge, then he spoke. And the previous verse and this verse and the few verses remaining in the chapter is King Rahugana's glorification of Judd Bharat, his realization of pure devotional service. And he says, I can't argue with you anymore. And I'm a king, and nobody usually tells me what to do. Because kings, they're always right because of their position, especially in dealing with their subjects and others. But he says, I can't do that. You've completely destroyed all my arguments. I'm freed from any false arguments, false prestige. My discrimination is clear. I understand now. I'm your disciple. I surrender to you. So this is the mercy of a great soul. They tolerate the difficulties that come by way of purifying the hearts of the materialists, and at the same time, they give them the highest, what we say, principle of pure devotional service, or service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's the quality of great souls. They take so much trouble. Prabhupada said that is the nature of preaching. Preaching means you can expect it's difficult. And sometimes, and Prabhupada would use the example of Srila Haridas Thakur, or who else? Prahlad Maharaj, Jesus Christ, how they compassionately, mercifully, and with great tolerance try to enlighten persons in God consciousness. But still, they were harassed, beaten, and even killed, or attempted to be killed. So that's the nature of preaching. So, therefore, that is Krishna's mercy coming through the great souls. Okay, so we have to end by 1:45. Any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. Maharaj.
When Srila Prabhupada was physically on the planet and there was anything either read in the books or discussion about pure devotee, then everyone simply focused on Prabhupada and presumed that meant Srila Prabhupada. Then we see after Srila Prabhupada's physical departure, like the verse that you've just read is for all time. So can you please explain or define what is meant by pure devotee, because otherwise there are many neophytes today or many new devotees who feel, oh well, you had association with a pure devotee, but how can I get the association with a pure devotee? There's still a lot of confusion about the definition of pure devotee. Can you please help clear that?
We can give many different understandings in relationship to the principle of receiving knowledge. Because if a person is perfectly representing a pure devotee, then that representation is also pure. And therefore the knowledge is coming perfectly. So if we perfectly repeat Srila Prabhupada and are, as Prabhupada said, actually, the definition of a pure devotee is one who is 24 hours engaged in devotional service. One who has no other occupation activity but to serve the spiritual master, serve the Lord 24 hours a day. That's one of the main qualities of a devotional service, of a pure devotee. And then you can tell by the symptoms. You know, the symptoms of a pure devotee are also mentioned. He doesn't find fault with others. Tolerant, course, humble. So we can define or we can observe by the symptoms. But the main symptom is one who is following another pure devotee purely. That would be also a pure devotee. One who is purely following the pure devotee. Question, way... Yeah? We need the microphone. I hope that was okay. Thank you. There's a question behind you too, after you're done.
Maharaji, as you have very beautifully
explained... Nice and loud, please.
As you have very beautifully explained that one of the very... one of the characteristics of a devotee is that he is very tolerant. But sometimes some doubt arises in mind that many times when we have to engage ourselves in some particular service, by being always very tolerant, very humble, we tend to sometimes, you know, not actually...
If we think we're self-tolerant and humble, that's a problem. We shouldn't think we're tolerant and humble. Because if you think you're tolerant and humble, that means it's an indication you're not. So, we therefore, if we're thinking we're tolerant and humble, that means we can't access any more humble humility and tolerance. So one should think, I'm not tolerant, I'm not humble. Or I'm not tolerant enough, I can be more humble. And that way you can always go deeper into those qualities. And that also, by doing that, you receive the mercy of the Lord. Because as soon as we think we have developed certain good qualities, those good qualities block Krishna's mercy. Or that thought blocks Krishna's mercy. The more unqualified you feel, the more you become qualified. Because the qualification is not yours, it's coming to you from the pure devotee, ultimately from the Lord. So we have to feel unqualified. Maharaj, and that's really what we are, unqualified.
What I specifically mean to ask Maharaj is this, that sometimes by being always tolerant and silent, some misunderstanding arises, and silence also means acceptance in some cases. So in that situation, what should we do?
Well, you can speak, but speak with respect and what we say, detachment. If we know we're right, we feel we're right, but we're attached to the idea, then that attachment also is another form of pride. Because a lot of times might be right, just like Prabhupada said, two people are working together. One person is 95% correct and the other person is 85% correct on how to do things. But if you fight, then the whole thing is wrong, lost. So better to cooperate on some level, and that way Krishna's mercy becomes available. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yes, in the back there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Please speak really loud, as microphones are not so loud.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Hello. Hare Krishna Maharaj. To listen a pure devotee is a good service to the pure devotee. What are the other aspects of pure service?
What are some of the other qualities of a pure devotee?
No, not quality. How to serve a pure devotee other than listening?
I'm sorry, I missed that. Yeah. Personal service. You can offer personal service to a pure devotee. You should ask. Or you can actually sometimes arrange to do a little personal service. That's another way to serve a pure devotee, by doing personal service like that. Mataji, yes. microphone up front.
Hare Krishna. You were saying that association doesn't entail physical proximity.
Well, that's got to be there, but that doesn't mean you're in association.
So in the situation where you don't have that physical proximity, how can we inquire submissively and how can we... that's the basic question. How can...
We want to inquire from a particular personality who we don't have that association. I don't want to sound mundane, but we got email. We got letters, telephones. I mean, you can, if you really want to connect on a personal level, there's other ways to do it than just, of course, email is not always so good. But if you can get the same question answered in another way, through reading the books or through someone else who is also qualified, why not do it that way? But if you don't have the personal association, then you have to arrange for some way to communicate like that. That's practical.
Mm-hmm. And how did they used to do that in former times before modern technology?
How did they... Well, usually people would travel to get association of great souls. You see that throughout the Shastras. How the devotees would go from one place to another. But association is also by remembering and following the instructions. That's another form of association, and that's very powerful. If we hear carefully when we're in association, and we can remember or write down, and then apply when the time is needed, then those words are as good now as then when they were spoken. Like that. That's another way. Yes, Apurva Prabhu.
Really great class. I feel we covered all the bases. My question is, and it's always been there, I've heard this verse 11th of a second. So, how do we understand, you know, the mind is saying, like, really? That 11th of a second is gone when someone just says one word.
When you get the realization. I don't know, I don't want to say... I mean, we read Prabhupada's books, and we hear Prabhupada's lectures, and we've had association with Prabhupada. But then, one time when you hear the same statement you may have heard so many times, and all of a sudden, you realize it. It's like, we hear, I am not this body. So the one time you hear, I'm not this body. Yeah, I got it. I finally got it. Is that the mind and the purity of the words somehow connect and they reach the heart and then you get realization. So the process of Krishna consciousness is all about realization, but the realization comes by way of service and continual hearing like that. But then when you get that realization, that's your love of mata. We want that. We don't want to just be a theoretical devotee. We just keep hearing. I know the philosophy, but I don't really realize it. Realization means it becomes a part of you. And that realization comes by service and constant hearing with faith.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj. This is an excellent opportunity for us to... you gave us such a nice understanding of the immense benefits of hearing and the essential need for constant hearing. And actually, it gave me a beautiful realization that Prabhupada's entire purpose in life was to spread the Sankirtan movement, which means a vast network of activities, deity worship, preaching, so many things.
Books.
Books, everything. Just to allow us to render him some nice service to fulfill his desires, Lord Chaitanya's desire, and we have immediate access to the reward, which is a taste for hearing about Krishna.
Yeah.
It's available. That's what Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya is offering in the Sankirtan movement, that instant taste for hearing about Krishna.
We want that taste. And then keep it going on hearing and keep following the instructions of the pure devotees, and that taste will develop. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Radha Madhava and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are the